For the week of February 13th, 2023, this is Diet Science with Dee McCaffrey. Dee's an organic chemist and nutritionist who had lost 100 pounds by staying away from processed foods. She's now pursuing a doctorate in clinical nutrition, and every week on Diet Science, Dee covers a topic or two that's important for you and your family's health. This is your co-host, Michael McCaffrey. So, Dee, what's the topic for this week?
This week we're talking about new nutrition standards for school meals.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's going to be lunches and breakfasts at school.
Great.
Yeah, so this was a plan that was announced by the Agriculture Secretary. By the way, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is the entity that comes up with the guidelines for nutrition for Americans. Basically, you know, how much of everything we should be eating and what we should be limiting. So he came up with this plan that is basically seeking to significantly decrease added sugars and also sodium in the meals that are served to the nation's school children. And they're hoping to get this implemented by, the sugar should be implemented by 2027, and the sodium reduction should be implemented by 2029.
Wow, that seems like a little while from now.
It really does. But obviously they're giving this amount of time because schools have to transition.
Right.
And they're also, you know, obviously the food manufacturers that supply the food to the schools also are going to have to transition. They're going to have to create milk and other types of food products that have less sugar and sodium in them.
Right. As my mind is considering this, I'm realizing they might use, you know, artificial sweeteners instead of stevia, for instance. It's really up to that manufacturer.
It is. And unfortunately, artificial sweeteners are already allowed to be used in foods that are served to school children.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that that's just going to become more common as we're trying to lower these sugar standards. So let's just talk a little bit about what the proposal is.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, let's just compare. The U.S. Dietary Guidelines for Americans, which is the guideline that is supposed to be for all of us in America, what we should be following in order to eat a healthy diet and have healthy bodies.
Mm-hmm.
The recommendation is already 10% of calories consumed in a day should be, basically you should be limiting to 10% of calories in a day coming from added sugar.
So I hear added sugar. So
yes.
A banana, an orange, they have naturally occurring sugar, so they wouldn't be affected.
Those are not included in the number of added sugar grams in the daily intake.
Okay.
So no, we don't. We've never actually had any scientific study that has shown that sugar from fruits and whole foods is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's the added sugars, the refined processed sugars, whether it's refined white sugar from sugar cane or sugar beets, or it's high fructose corn syrup, or it's an excessive amount of honey or other types of added sugars in food products that are the ones that are the problem and that need to be limited.
Mm-hmm.
So now, one thing that kind of came to my mind as I was reading about this was I was kind of surprised that we're not already in alignment with the Dietary Guidelines for Americans in our school programs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that 10% of calories has been around since at least 2005, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we're here in 2023 and our school lunches don't even abide by that.
Mm.
So it's just, I guess, another example of how the right hand doesn't talk to the left hand kind of thing, or, you know, we make recommendations for people to follow and then they're not modeled in the society. So this obviously is a good direction that we're going to be going in. Let me just give some numbers here. So 2,000 calories a day is the normal kind of average number of calories that is typically used when the guidelines are made. So if someone was eating 2,000 calories a day, they're saying that they need to limit their added sugar intake to only be 10% of those calories. So that would be about 200 calories a day coming from added sugar. And if we break that down a little farther, that comes out to about 50 grams of sugar a day, or about 12 and a half teaspoons. And this is we're talking added sugar. We're like talking about taking, you know, 12 and a half teaspoons of sugar and just sprinkling them on all your meals throughout the day.
Yeah, it seems like plenty.
It's a lot. And in fact, I even kind of feel like that's too much still. And in fact, the American Heart Association has recommended lower levels of added sugar. So they actually came up with men should only consume about 150 calories a day from added sugars, which would come out to about 37 and a half grams or 9 teaspoons. And for women, it's even lower than that. It's 100 calories a day, 25 grams or 6 teaspoons of added sugar. And they there's also recommendations now for children and teens to keep it to that level as well, to 6 teaspoons a day of added sugar.
So, Dean, let me just ask you, I mean, obviously you talk about this every day with your clients. What percentage of refined sugar do you allow?
Oh, I encourage people to really not consume any refined sugar, and to always look at the number of grams of added sugar on the label of a food product. Let's say you're buying a breakfast cereal or a like an applesauce or even, you know, like a cracker or something like that, where you should see, you know, ideally you should see 0 grams of added sugar. That's kind of the ideal of what you're going for. Sometimes things are sweetened with, like if we're buying a natural food product, sometimes things might be sweetened with maple syrup or coconut sugar or something like that. And in that regard, I tell people, try to keep it below 5 grams of added sugar in the product. So sometimes you'll see that the total sugar grams is more than 5 because there might be some naturally occurring sugar in the food itself. For example, I always like to use yogurt as a good example, or applesauce as a good example for this. So let's start with applesauce. Apples have naturally occurring sugars in them. So, and if you bought an unsweetened applesauce, all it's going to contain in its ingredients is the apples and maybe some ascorbic acid to prevent the browning, right? And they might have basically adding some vitamin C because of, you know, to prevent the browning. So if you were reading the label, you would see 0 grams of added sugar on that applesauce. But you might see that the total grams of sugar is maybe like 10 for per serving, but those sugars were what was already in the apples. So those are not added sugars. However, if you go and buy a sweetened applesauce, you will see that there's probably double the amount of total sugar, and then there might be like 10 grams of added sugar in addition to the 10 grams of natural sugar. So now you have double the amount of sugar in your applesauce, and you have 10 grams of added sugar, which basically is putting you at almost the max of what you should even have in a day. And that would be just from eating a half cup serving of sweetened applesauce. And I think about how many of those little applesauce cups that are giving to kids in school breakfasts and lunches, they're getting that added sugar because that's probably what they're not giving them unsweetened applesauce. They're giving them the sweetened type.
Mm-hmm.
This proposal, or the plan, basically, that is being introduced by the Agriculture Secretary, is really kind of focusing in on trying to reduce the amount of sugar in things like the flavored milks, like chocolate milk, strawberry milk,
mm-hmm.
And then things like muffins, donuts, and breakfast cereals that are typically given, and breakfast pastries, even yogurts. The other example I was going to give for added sugars was yogurts, and it's basically the same as the applesauce example, is that yogurt, which is made from milk, will, if we had just a plain yogurt, nothing added to it, it would already have maybe about 10 or 11 grams of naturally occurring sugar in it. There's a type of sugar in milk called lactose,
mm-hmm.
and so that is a natural sugar that's in the milk. And but a lot of yogurts are sweetened with other things. They're either sweetened with sugar, they're sweetened with honey, they're sweetened with high fructose corn syrup. So the sugar grams that are added usually even exceed the number of grams of the natural sugar that mm-hmm. was in there. So I have seen yogurts where the you know, total sugar grams are, you know, almost like 25 or 30 grams, when only 11 grams of that was from the milk.
Right. It seems like it's a dessert.
Yeah.
You know?
And in fact, they're saying that what they're trying to do with, let's say, for example, chocolate milk in the school, was that a typical 8-ounce container of chocolate milk would now, you know, under this plan, would now be able to contain no more than 10 grams of added sugar. And some of the milks that they're eating or drinking now have about twice that much sugar in it.
Mm.
So they're going to have to reduce the amount of sugar that's in there.
Mm.
They also want to reduce the amount of sodium in the school meals to bring it down to what the recommended dietary guideline is right now for Americans, which is 2,300 milligrams a day. Mm. And right now, an average school lunch contains about 1,500 milligrams. And this is just in what I read in the report was a typical turkey sandwich with mustard and cheese may contain about 1,500 milligrams of sodium. That's just from one sandwich at school.
Now, is that from the bread? Where does that come from?
Oh, most of that is probably coming from the preservative in the turkey and in the cheese, and it could be in the bread as well. Because we have basically most preservatives are sodium preservatives. They're not when we talk about sodium, we're not just talking about salt.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about sodium. Sodium is a mineral that can be combined with many things. So if it's salt, like table salt, it's sodium chloride.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a preservative in a food product, it could be sodium nitrate, sodium nitrite, sodium benzoate, monosodium glutamate. There's many sodium compounds that show up in foods,
mm-hmm.
especially processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the majority of sodium in the American diet comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's not from the salt that you put in your recipes in your cooking, or even what you sprinkle on your plate at the table. Most of the sodium is coming from pre-prepared foods.
Well, and we've kind of created a society that allows for shelf life, and that's really what that's about, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm.
So now, you know, when I think about it, like I said, I was kind of surprised that we're not already in alignment with the dietary guidelines for Americans in the school lunch program
mm-hmm.
and the breakfast program. And it's a stunning number of kids that get these meals. They said that we serve about 30 million children every day. They get lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Like through the school lunch program, and mm-hmm. a lot of them also get breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about what they're getting in their breakfast and how much sugar they're getting and how much sodium they're getting combined from breakfast and lunch, it's already exceeding what is considered to be healthy by the very institution, by the USDA, for Americans. So it's kind of like we really need to work toward this.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully even at some point in the future, get it even lower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, Dee. Anything more before we go?
Well, apparently there is a 60-day public comment period on this that started on February 7th of this year. And so, you know, it's going to be a 60-day public comment period so people can go in and comment on it. You know, and I also read that there's obviously going to be advocates and proponents to this. Mm-hmm. The advocates say, yes, we need to do this because, you know, extra sugar and extra sodium in kids is leading to childhood obesity, you know, early onset of high cholesterol and triglycerides in kids. So it's, you know, this is a very important measure to be going after. The opponents to this are saying this is too burdensome on the schools, and it's too especially rural and low community schools, and it's too burdensome on the food manufacturers to have to make all these changes and transitions. But they also said that there's also some USDA funding. They're going to fund grants up to $150,000 to help small and rural schools make the changes.
Oh,
so it's not great. Like we're going to leave them out there to fend for themselves on this.
Right.
You know, there's going to be help.
Right.
The one thing that I guess to kind of conclude with this would be that we know it's possible to do this because we've seen incidences of schools, not like a district-wide thing, but individual schools throughout the country that have made changes on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we reported in a podcast maybe a few years ago about a low-income school in Northern California that basically they did a complete overhaul on the school lunch program where they did it all organic and nothing processed.
Mm.
And then the kids were also growing a school garden and learning how to make lunch from the things that they grew.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that it's possible. It just takes time and it takes a village.
Yes. Well, thank you. Will we have a link to that?
Yes, we'll have a link to this.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Dee, for another informative week. Diet Science is the official podcast for Process-Free America. We're a nonprofit dedicated to eliminating childhood and adult obesity through nutrition education of both young and old. You can catch this podcast and lots of other great podcasts and articles at processfreeamerica.org.
This is Dee McCaffrey, and until next time, go forth and be healthy.